Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and, of course, the Holy Spirit. I'm so happy and honored to be here with you and excited and joyful to share the greatest news on the planet, and that is the love and forgiveness and mercy of our Father in heaven. I am Saint Rick, and today is September 24th, 2017. No. The world did not end yesterday. No, it did not blow away. No, the rapture did not occur. Sorry to all those pastors who put it out there that it was going to. But good thing for you, you are forgiven. And you are recipients of his mercy and recipients of his love. And for all of you out there who want to attack those pastors, please remember, God loves you too. So don't get on them. Don't give them a hard time. Let them be. They have to figure it all out, just like we have to figure it all out at God News Network. And I've learned a long time ago, I live by two rules. That's it. Love God, love others. And if you're one of my children listening, remember, love is discipline. But good news for you, I still love you. And with me is my good friend, St. Albert, from Carolinas. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, Rick. And you're right. You can't go wrong with love. You sure can't.
That's exciting. Well, today we're talking about forgiveness, Albert. Forgiveness is such a misunderstood subject. And I think for so many years, what's the number one prayer that everybody wants to go to for God and how we should pray and all those kinds of things? And what have you been told through the years by the churches?
Well, Rick, this is something that the Lord's Prayer, it always goes back to the Lord's Prayer. And, the funny thing about the Lord's Prayer is neither the Lord's Prayer nor is it a new covenant prayer. It's neither of them. And I don't know why we continue on going back there and say that this is a standard for a Christian. This is not a standard for a Christian. That was a standard for the disciples and the people of God in the Old Testament. Yeah. So we got it a little bit confused. And with that, 1 John 1:9 those are exactly the same things that they use for this, that you haven't been forgiven. And, if you are a person who thinks that you don't have forgiveness, then it's going to be hard for you to extend that forgiveness to other people.
What do you mean by that? If you haven't been forgiven, it's going to be hard to extend forgiveness to others. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I worked in the jail for a while, Rick, and, a lot of times the people that have been in situations like that and all that, a lot of times what you find out is that those people don't feel loved. They had some kind of a parallel, some kind of problems in their life that either with family or situations in the neighborhood that they grew up and all that, that they never were loved. And so in return, they cannot love because they don't know what love is. And not just there, I'm just putting that because, some of the people there have been through that problem, but you could see that also in churches. A lot of times in church, the reason why a lot of people cannot come out and love like they should or have the freedom to love like they should, it's because they're still in a system that they've never been loved, and they don't know what love is. And so you see it all around. You see the syndrome, and a lot of times some people that have been abused, that they're timid, that they cannot trust people, they cannot share love with people because of the situation of their abuse when they were small and all that. This situation, you see them all the time, and the gospel teaches us to regain that love again, and to understand what truly it is to be loved by somebody. You see.
So why do you think? Why do you think the biggest reason is that they don't want to receive? Let's say they're already grown. Mm-hmm. They haven't been taught to love because they haven't been loved. They don't know what love is. They haven't received the love of the Father, which talks about in 1 John as well.
Well, one of the main reasons is that one of the things that you see normally with people that have been abused and all that, and people that have gone through real hard times in this world, is that they believe that everything that has happened to them has been because they propagated. It's because of their fault. And so what happens is that they don't feel forgiven by either God or by the circumstances that the people that they've been involved in and all that. They don't feel forgiven, and they don't feel that they could be forgiven. Hmm. And so that continues on through their whole life, you know, through all their circumstances. I mean, you know, if you feel like you're worthless, well, that's your attitude that you're going to have your whole life, that you're a worthless person. And until somebody gives you and stops you and gives you a information that you're not worthless, that you are worth, that you have a worth, you see? And then it's when you start changing your mind about who you are, and that's when you start relating again to with people, you know, that you are worth something, and you start relating to people that they have gone probably through similar circumstances that you have in this world, and that they are worthy too. So it changes.
So last week we were talking about, are you worthy to receive communion? It's really kind of similar to this, isn't it? So people are feeling like they're not good enough because they've never been told they were. They don't believe that they are because of they've been in a system like the church system that makes them feel unworthy, not good enough, or they've been in a home environment where they don't feel good enough. No matter what they do to try to achieve or accomplish or whatever, the whole thing is. And, you know, they feel like there's no hope.
That's correct. And if you look at a lot of drug addicts or drunkards or whatever, that's their main, one of their main problems is that they lost hope. And the only way to cope with that was to be in a situation. Yeah. To be in a situation where they don't have to think about themselves.
And it numbs their thinking to be on drugs or on alcohol, and they don't have to think.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I look at all that situation as children who are abused, children who don't believe they're worthy, adults who don't believe they're worthy, as victims of the enemy using the law against them. And pointing to all the things that they've done wrong because it's against the law, it's against the commandments, against what God has ordained before the cross, not for the purpose of making you feel that way, but for the purpose of getting you to come to the realization you can't do it on your own. Because some go around also on the other side of the coin pretending one thing in public, but being something different behind the scenes. And they overcompensate by, you know, exaggerating things, doing things that are just a cover for how they really genuinely feel inside. But they're broken as well. If that's you out there and you've been broken like that, we can relate. We understand what it's like. And so we know the problem. The problem is their identity is crushed because of unworthiness, identity issues, because they are unloved, because they feel not forgiven for all the stuff that they've done wrong. And a lot of them are abuse victims that feel that they were partakers in it by just being a victim, so that they're not worthy through the act that occurred that made them feel shameful towards themselves. Is that a pretty good?
That's exactly it, Rick. That's exactly it. And, you know, getting back again to like a religion circles, you know, a lot of times in religion circles, what we practice or what they teach us all the time is performance. And Rick, you know, I'm talking here for myself, you know, as to my experience. It comes a time when you get into religious circles where you start looking at the things that you do and the things that are required of you. And it comes a time where, you know, you could do it at the beginning and you're all gung-ho there and everything works out all right. But within time, you find out that you get tired and you get fatigued. And you find out that you can't do the things that you were at one time, you know, capable of doing. And then that's when the darts start coming in from the enemy and also from brothers and sisters in church that you're backsliding. That maybe you're not a Christian as the way you think you are. Maybe you're not as pure as the way you think you are. You ought to do some more stuff. And then you find yourself that you're being pressured at doing more stuff in church. And it continues on. That scale continues on until one day you see a lot of people outside of the church that that what happens is that they were worn out. They were worn out of and for those people, it even becomes even worse at times. Sometimes it becomes a little better, but sometimes it becomes a little worse because what happens is that they feel that they have been rejected from the church. And so since they have been rejected from the church, they have been rejected from God too, you see?
Yes, and they correlate the two together as one, that they've been rejected from both because they've been rejected from one. The church.
That's
the religious circles is what we like to call them. Yeah. Well, let's go to Matthew, because this is what the legalist zealots are going to be using, is Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. And they'll go in here and they'll say, yeah, but look, it's even the Lord's Prayer. And he tells them, this is exactly how you need to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, or the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a big one that they like to use to hit the saints over the head with and make them feel unworthy, is that if you forgive your trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Do you have any unforgiveness inside you? Let's go through this because I think this has been used inappropriately over the years. If you have unforgiveness inside you, you may suffer earthly consequences and relationship consequences, things of that nature, but it doesn't affect your salvation. We want to make sure that you guys understand this, but here's how it's been used. It's been used, whoa, shame on you. You're going to go to hell because you have unforgiveness inside you and you are not going to be, ooh, it's going to be a bad day for you when you get there. Is that not how some of the religious circles use this?
Unfortunately, Rick, that's how the majority of them uses it, you know? And it's shameful. It really is shameful. First of all, the Father's relationship with a saint never changes. In fact, the love of the Father, not even with the saint, but with the whole world, never changes. You know,
the Father doesn't change. His love doesn't change. His forgiveness doesn't change. His blessings doesn't change. Mm-hmm. But mankind, I look at it like this, and I know we've had more than one conversation about it, but I kind of look at it like it talks about early in the Old Testament where we have these golden tubes feeding down into us from heaven and God pouring all of the kingdom down through those tubes, coming into you personally because you deserve it through your faith in Christ. You don't deserve it by your actions, but you deserve it through your faith in Christ, his name. You've accepted his son. And because you've accepted his son, those golden tubes get connected right to you, baby, and they're coming right down and you get all that. Mm-hmm. But you don't believe. So you choke. You are an unforgiving person because you just can't forgive that guy. You're going to miss some of those blessings, not because you aren't being fed them, because you are, but you may not get to partake in them. For example, as we talked about offline, if you have a daughter or a son or a mother or a father, and you don't forgive them, do you get the blessing of that close relationship, that bonding that you get? But you don't know what they did, St. Rick. You don't know how bad they hurt me. You don't understand what the situation is. You're right. I don't. I'm not there. But I do trust what my papa says. And my papa says, I need to forgive them as I have been forgiven. When I do that, those golden tubes are just fully open and I get to receive them more and more. And then it goes on, the religious zealots go, well, what about 6:15? But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Yeah. And, you know, Rick, the thing is that a lot of teachers or pastors really don't understand what so-called the Lord's Prayer is all about. And so they teach it the way they think that it's supposed to be, which is not. The Lord's Prayer is simple. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer asking for the cross. What happened here was that the disciples, it was a simple thing. The disciples asked the Lord, hey, they're looking at all these things that the Lord was doing, which they didn't even know. And so they're asking the Lord how it is that they should pray, how it is that they should pray. And what the Lord's Prayer is asking is for the crucifixion, you know, the forgiveness of sins, deliver them from the devil, from the evil one. All those things were things that were before the cross that they're asking for. Give us today our daily bread. Well, that's not asking about bread. Jesus Christ had just told them not to, you know, not to be so worried about the Father feeding them and all that. You know, what they're asking them is for the Spirit to come to them, which comes in the day of Pentecost. So this prayer is truly a prayer from the old covenant, asking for the new covenant to come. And that's what Jesus Christ explained to the disciples with this prayer. And the new covenant is that we have been forgiven. Forgiven of how many sins? Of all sin. We're clean. So if you're forgiven of all sins, you could forgive all the peoples now. Not because of any law, but because of love, because you have found out now that somebody actually loves you, that somebody actually gave his life for you, that somebody actually cares for you. So now when you come to understand that the Father actually loves you, that God actually loves you, he doesn't hold anything against you, now you could extend that love to other people. So
basically what you're saying is, if I understand you correct, this is under the law, because Christ is still talking. He's alive. He hasn't went through the cross yet. He's saying, pray for this to happen now. If you look at the word where it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This word come is present. It's present tense. It was then. It was imperfect present tense. So it was saying, bring thy kingdom, bring it on earth as it is in heaven, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, please. As we forgive our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because they can't get delivered from the evil one until who returns? Christ.
Right.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Right? How do I know that this here, 6:14 and 15, no longer applies? We're going to go to Acts chapter 26. And we're going to go down to Paul, where he is having a midday thing going on. This is his road to Damascus. And at midday, O king, I saw, he's explaining this to the king. Midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Above the brightness of the sun. Think about that. Shining around me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. He's already given it to them, but they have not received this. And an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. How can one be sanctified? It's by faith that is in him. So what makes you sanctified? Faith that is in him. This is huge because he's already forgiven them. He's already done the cross. He's already went to heaven, but they still haven't received this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the church.
What's going on in the church?
You hear them all the time. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and then a moment later they'll tell you, "Do you have any unforgiven sins?" So which one is it? Has he taken away all your sins, or is there some sins that he hasn't taken away? You see, it's a double talk, and then that double talk that they have, they confuse everybody, and they have everybody thinking that they're not forgiven. And when people think that they're not forgiven, they're going to act like unforgiven people. The opposite of what they want them to do. It's that simple.
Okay. There's two paths here for me. Okay. One is they personally haven't received the forgiveness of sins. That's one path. They've been given forgiveness. They just haven't received it. Only those who've not received the forgiveness of sins can't forgive others. If you haven't received yet, then you are incapable of forgiving others. That's the second path. Now, forgiving someone else. So here's what I see. If you have unforgiveness towards someone else, it's only because you truly haven't received the forgiveness from Christ. So if there's something in you that if you don't forgive, you feel bitter, you feel angry, you feel frustrated, and you start to get God is showing me something about this, and I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it on air, but I'm going to, because I think it's going to be very controversial and people are going to be upset, but this is the way it is. I really believe God's telling me this. Disease and illness has a lot of relationship to you harboring unforgiveness inside you for others. It could be for a political party. It could be for a church. It could be for someone who hurts you in a church. It could be for a relationship of someone who is in an authority position at a church. It could be someone at school, someone in your family, it could be something. And God is showing me how much that's related to disease and illness. It is so related, but nobody's talking about it. Like they weren't talking about grace. Like they weren't talking about you can't sin. Like they weren't talking about you're not worthy to take communion. We do that here on God News Network. We bring up stuff that others are not going to discuss. But I just know there's a relationship here, and we're digging it out right now. We're really digging it out. But they have to receive forgiveness of sins. This is the first step of salvation. You have to believe that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again for you, for your forgiveness of sins. If you get this, it starts to unlock those golden tubes. Everything inside you starts to receive, and blessings come your way abundantly. Not that they're not already there. It's that you finally get to partake in them, because for some reason there's an unforgiveness there that exists. And I know it can be misconstrued what I'm saying, but God blesses you always. I know that. I'm not saying he doesn't. I know that. But you yourself harboring the bitterness and unforgiveness can't partake in things like you could if you just let it all go. Let it all just disappear. Let it fly away, if that makes any sense whatsoever. What say you, Albert?
I say you're correct completely, Rick. And in my life, I have gone through that. I think everybody in their life has gone through that, and people have felt it. And this is something that is not just for me and Rick. I think everybody has felt that one day or another. Just rely on the Lord. Rely on his forgiveness. Don't let anybody take that away from you.
Amen.
And remember that God always loves you.
Amen. Well said, brother. Repeat after me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your son. I know he died, he was buried, and he rose again for me and for my forgiveness of sins. I accept that and I claim that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And also pray this. Now that I've received your forgiveness, anyone that I personally am harboring any unforgiveness for, I now release you in the name of Jesus Christ. I release that unforgiveness, and I am completely free from it, and so are you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am free. If you've said that prayer right now, you've created more ripples in Satan's kingdom than you could even imagine. Waves that are a million feet tall, crushing cities and crushing those people right now, because you are free and you are in the Son. You are in him in every way, shape, or form. It is all about you being free due to the love and the kindness of our Father in heaven, our Lord, our Savior, because you are free from everything by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are free. You know, one thing I really love about doing this is helping people, Albert, become free from the sins and experiencing the love and kindness of our Lord and Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that we get to do this each and every week. And I'm glad you're here with me. Praise God. And remember, the saints are rising.